Okay, now we're today I wanted to talk about love. And first, before we get started, a little audience participation. What kind of things do you think of demonstrate love? Raise your hand. Just Greg.
Affection.
Affection. Okay. Lisa?
Phone calls.
Phone calls?
Compassion.
Compassion?
Non-judgment.
Togetherness? Okay.
Non-judgment.
Non-judgmental. Yes?
Accept, assure, and admonish.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The points from my last lesson? Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's so wise. I wonder where you got that. Yeah, just kidding. So, Jared.
Sacrifice.
That's a good one.
Patience.
Yeah, these are all good things. Yes. And listening, yeah. So those are all good things. And so today, you know, keep those things in mind. But today, I've got basically three sections here. My first one is love throughout Jesus' ministry. Then love through obedience is my second one. And my last one is love practicals. And so if you want to, you know, if you need an acronym to keep in your mind, you know, it's throughout, obey, practical, top. It's the top, it's the most important thing that we have. So God started out with the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In Matthew 3, in verse 16, it says, "As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.'" You know, that'd be great to have God say that about you, wouldn't it? That would be cool. But so God starts it out here, right? I mean, you know, he's starting his ministry talking about love. You know, his love for his Son. And so, okay, so what does Jesus have to say about love? Well, Matthew 22. We've all heard it, the greatest commandment. Right? If you ask 10 people what's the most important part of the Bible, chances are at least one, if not multiple people, would say, oh, it's the Ten Commandments. But that's not what Jesus says. He says in Matthew 22, in verse 34, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments.'" This is interesting because this is his answer when they're trying to trap him, right? They're trying to get him to point to one, and then he can say, well, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? And he boils it down to what's really the most important. You know, the Bible and relationship with God, what's the most important thing in that whole book? It's love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. Is love the motivation for everything you do? You know, those that claim to be Christians, does it motivate everything you do? At work, do you love your coworkers? Even the lazy ones? You know? Do you love them? Now, love is a decision. You can decide to. It's not all just these warm, gushy feelings. It's not like you're going to go up to your coworker and, oh, I love you. You know, it's not that. But you can show love in other ways. And if you think you're lovable, come talk to me afterwards. Except, of course, my wife. She's lovable. She's perfect. You know, we all have our warts and our rough edges and the rest of it. We have all things that are maybe not so lovable about us. But the Bible calls us to love. And not just love the people that are friendly and nice, but to love everybody. And Jesus demonstrated this in Mark 10, 21. This is the whole story about the rich young ruler who comes to him and, you know, and asks him what he needs to do to get into the kingdom. And, you know, he gives him a list of do's and don'ts. And he says, well, I've done all those things. And says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. He loved the guy, you know, and the things he had to say to him was because he knew where the guy was coming from. He was rich. He knew money was more important to him than a relationship with God. And so he laid that out for him. So how many of us have a hard time loving people who don't love us back or don't accept the good news, you know? That, like, you know, Jesus is basically giving him an offer here to come follow him, and he turns him down. But he still loved him. It's not like Jesus didn't know he was going to say no. And he knew, and he loved him anyway. How many of us, you know, if people don't respond the way we want them to, or if they're not like us in some way, we don't love them? You know, we have standards. We have lines in the sand.
Yeah.
I'll love you as long as you, you know, performance-based, you know. The Bible doesn't call us to only love people that are good to us. It calls us to love everybody. You know, and that whole money thing, like with the rich young ruler. Luke 16:13 says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So, here's a question for you. Do you spend more time thinking about money or the acquisition of money than you do about God? I mean, that's a real good measure right there. You know, if the only time you think about God is at Sunday at church and maybe at midweek, or even if it's that half hour in the morning reading your Bible or whatever, but you spend the rest of the day think about money and making money? What's really the priority in your life? It's something to think about. Jesus, people knew that he loved people. They knew it. You know, in John 11:5, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sisters and Lazarus. And if you jump to 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him? People could tell, you know. So how about us? Do people know that you love them? Do you tell them? I have a hard time with that with my wife. I have to confess. I don't encourage her enough. I don't tell her enough that I love her. Are you the same way? You know, do people know? People know that you're loving. If they don't, how loving are you really? You know? Would you be described as a loving person? Not all of us would be. The full extent of Jesus' love. What did he do? He got down in John 13. He got down and he washed the feet of his disciples. Now think about that. They wore sandals, and they walked along dirt roads all the time. How nasty you think their feet were? And no pedicures, you know, none of that stuff back then. And he got down, he washed them stinky, nasty feet, the big old claws, I'm sure, and the rest of it. It was nasty. And he did it anyway because it was a demonstration of love. He was showing them that he was there to serve them, that he was there for them, no matter what the task was. And, you know, and this is right before he went and died for all of us, which is an amazing example of love. And in one passage, it talks about a disciple there at dinner and he leaned against him. You know, it's that you could tell the closeness there. You know, you don't just lean against somebody. Unless you have a tight relationship, there's a loving relationship there. And Jesus took it one step farther. Remember when I talked about the greatest commandment? Well, he changed it a little bit, and he said, this is a new command that he gives. It says, love one another as I have loved you. So, because I know some of you out there probably don't love yourself a whole lot. You're down on yourself. I tend to be one of those people, you know, If I could kick the person most responsible for the problems in my life, I couldn't sit down for a week. Right? So, some of us don't love ourselves a whole lot, but we can look at Jesus and the way he loved and use that as an example of how to love other people. And that's what he calls us to. That's why he said it was a new command. Because he said the other was the greatest commandment, and he's like, I'm setting the bar higher. And that's what he did. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, love obeys. That's one of the aspects of love. Jesus replied, and this is John 14, 23 and 24, it says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. I'm trying to come up with an analogy for this. If you were a parent or are a parent or whatever, and your kid was always like, I love you, but didn't obey you at all. Did their own thing whenever they wanted to. Would you feel loved? You know, if they just did their own thing, they'd say, I love you, but ignored you the rest of the time. I mean, you know, that's all he's asking for. He's like, okay, you say you love me, now demonstrate that. Do what I tell you. You know, and not that it's this huge burden to do what he tells us, right? I mean, the guy created everything. He knows how it's supposed to work and what works best and what doesn't. He's just trying to help us. He's just telling us to obey. Obedience also keeps us faithful. Because when we do it his way, things work out better. And we have more faith in who he is as God and that he's actually in control. And it's easier for us to remain obedient. To stay faithful. You know, it's like that verse that talks about, you know, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. The key is, well, you're not going to know the truth until you do what it tells you to do. You know, that's that whole obedience thing. And that's a great way to show love. You know, a guy has two sons and he tells one of his sons, go out and build a barn. And he says, no, I ain't going to build a barn. And he, you know, tells his other son, says, go build a barn. He says, yeah, okay. But the first one who said no, he's like, no. And he goes and he builds the barn. And the one who says, yeah, sure, gets busy and then doesn't do it. Who's really the obedient one? Not the one who gives lip service and doesn't do anything, but the one who actually does it. So let's examine ourselves. Are we giving lip service? Or are we actually obedient? We're actually doing what we're called to do. So, in John 21, 15 and 17, 15 through 17, here's where Jesus tells Peter how he wants him to love people. It says, then when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these do? He replied, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus told him, feed my lambs. You know, he asked him that three times. And of course, Peter was distressed at the third time being asked. But what was his thing? Feed my lambs. Be obedient to what I've told you is what he's saying. And so we need to do that as well. So, okay, what are some practicals? Now, you guys had some great suggestions, some great ideas at the beginning. And like I talked about the last time I spoke, accept one another. You know, we all got our rough edges, you know. We don't all look the same. We don't all act the same. We don't have the same likes and dislikes, talents, you know. There's all sorts of things that we could be like, well, I don't want to hang out with that guy. You know, because we just don't, you know, mesh, you know. We don't. Are you being accepting if you're that way. You know, you can always find something positive with everybody and be accepting of them. And it doesn't mean you accept all their behavior, especially if they're bad behavior. You accept people with an expectation of growth, especially if they're call themselves a Christian or a disciple of Christ. You know, what about, disputable matters? You know, are you accepting when someone disagrees with you? And something that isn't really a salvation issue, it's just whatever, a disputable matter. Like a good example, there's churches that split over whether to have instruments when they do their music. How peripheral is that? You know? Whether someone's up here strumming a guitar or not, you know, it's like, come on, you know, and they're not accepting of each other. They're not loving. That's not a demonstration of love. That's a divisiveness and all sorts of other things. But what other things that maybe aren't quite that extreme do we not accept people because they don't do it the way we think they should? But they don't, you know, whatever, the way we think it should be. You know?
Wow.
You know, whatever. I'm just saying. However you do it. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just saying, you know. Everybody's got their way of showing their or the rolling of the eyes.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just saying. We all have different ways of showing our a lack of acceptance for each other. You know? And love must be sincere. Not this fake, you know. I see it a lot, you know, because of my job, I deal with a lot of salespeople. They can tend to be pretty fake. Especially when they're trying to sell me something. You know, imagine that. But how fake are we? Are we like, oh, hey man, great to see you on Sunday morning. And then nothing. You know, shallow conversation.
Wow.
And it's like, how you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. you know what I'm saying? It's like, there's no love there. That's just, I'm killing time till church starts, you know, or, you know, I'm trying to, you know, that's not love. That's shallow. That's not sincere. You know, it's like those people, you know, I was reading this, some article and whatever, and they were talking about different slang, you know, like, you know, hey, how's it going? And this guy said in this article, when I ask you that, I don't really care. That's like saying hi. Don't answer me, you know. I'm like, okay, well, at least he's honest about, you know. But how many of us are like that? Hey, what's up? And they're like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, we didn't hear the answer. And, yeah. But do we do that with each other? You know, be real. Be expressive. You know, it's like I said last time, put some skin on it. You know, don't just say, man, I love you. Okay, cool. Why or what? Be specific. Man, I like the way, you know, like with Greg, man, I love the way he sings. You know, even on his worst day, he's 10 times better than I am. You know, he could have pneumonia, the flu, and laryngitis and still sing better than me. You know, and I love that about him. I love that to listen to him. And I love the way his heart is for people. You know, I like the way he gives me a hug. I mean, you know, you've been hugged when Greg hugs you, you know. I love the conversation. I love listening to Jared do welcomes and stuff like that. He does better than I do. Maybe I don't like that about him. But no, I'm just kidding. No, I do. I really love that about him. I appreciate that. But maybe a little envious. Just a little. No. But, you know, there's things like that. We gotta put skin on it. Tell people what you like, what you appreciate. You know, don't just throw some platitude out there, some just sort of casual comment. Say it like you mean it. Tell them what it, give them specifics. Because we all have our insecurities. We all have our down days when we need a little, you know, encouragement or inspiration. Let's do that for each other. That's a good practical. If we could just start doing that, it would make a huge impact on our fellowship and in the time we spend with each other. So, and here's an example. In Acts 20. Now, in 20, starting in verse 36, Paul is getting ready to leave and he's not coming back. He's not going to see these people again. And this is what it says. When Paul finished speaking, he knelt down and they all prayed together. They cried and cried. They were especially sad because Paul had said they would never see him again. They hugged him and kissed him. Then they went with him to the ship to say goodbye. They were going to miss him because they loved him. And because he loved them. If you were going to leave and not come back, would people cry? You know, some people might say, good reason. You know. But it's a good measure. You know, how many people would actually miss you if you were leaving and not coming back? We need to create an atmosphere of acceptance, assurance, you know. Do things together other than just come to church and sit here. You know, that's things that build those bonds, that deepen that relationship. You know, in the Army, you go through, you know, or a military in general, you go through some really tough times. It's interesting how that bonds you with the other people that are there with you that went through the same thing that you went through. It's like, you know, West Point. First year there, not fun. Not pleasant at all. But I see a West Pointer. I know where he comes. Even if he didn't graduate anywhere near the same time I did. And there's a bond there. It's a shared bond, shared suffering. Well, if we never spend any time with each other except in here, we're never going to be there for somebody in what they're going through. We're never going to share that suffering with them. We're never going to share even the good times with them, let alone the bad. And it's not going to, we're going to remain shallow in our relationships. And so, spend time with each other. It doesn't have to be some big event. Just go do stuff together. Whatever it is. You know, I've known guys that, you know, that I was talking to that said, you know, like they used to hang out with their discipler back in the day, their person that they got with. They would just hang out with them. And they'd go run errands, and they'd work on the car, and it wasn't some deep spiritual conversations all the time. They just spent time, and they still talk about that person like they're a long lost brother. You know, just spend time living life together is a great way to show love for one, because you're there with the other person, and you know, doing stuff with them, and it lead to conversations, whatnot. And then you've got Luke 6. Love your enemies. Do good to those who mistreat you. You know, I think that is a great way to make an impact for the world. You know, someone cuts you off in traffic. How do you respond? That's a tough one. If someone, here's another example. You're in the grocery store and you're heading for that aisle that's short and someone with a big cart cuts right in front of you in with like a full cart of groceries. All right, you're freaking right, you know. Do you get an attitude? Or do you strike up a conversation, see how the day's going? You know, how do you respond? Or maybe from one for the ladies. You're at a clothing store and you're reaching for that dress and somebody else snags it right before you do. You want to see an example of a lack of love? Look at the video clips from right before Christmas at a Walmart. Or the people were fighting over stuff. Knock down, drag out brawls and riots over something that was on sale on Black Friday. That's not love. That's not how we should be. We should be completely different from that. You know, we should know what's going on with the people, like in our different life groups that we're in. You should know what the people in your group are going through. The good things, the bad things. You should be able to say, oh yeah, he works over here and this is what he does, and you know, and he's studying this in his quiet times, and because you know, because you're in there and you're asking, you're having real conversation, not shallow. And so all these things, the Bible goes on and on and on about love, and so this is just sort of a smattering of things, but I want us to think about that, because after doing that last lesson of accept, assure, and admonish, I wanted to dig a little deeper into the love thing so that we could grow in that. So let's build an atmosphere of love in this group. Let's start right here with the people who are here, and we can work out from there. Let's do that. Thank you.